Good evening.
Good evening, Henry.
Hi, Chris. And
we are
my Mac guys. Very, very quickly going to run out of ways to introduce ourselves as I'm experiencing in my little peanut brain right now. And this is the iLife 05 show, which Chris has been hounding me to partake in for
gotta
weeks.
Gotta do it, Henry. Gotta get that iLife 05 story. Come on, Henry.
And now that I put him on the spot, he's the guy that's wondering what the show is going to be about. And so we're going
to
find out.
I am not wondering at all. What I was trying to say earlier is that I'm ready to riff 05.
You got scared.
Never.
Admit it on the air.
It was a flashback to, you know, the pop quiz from a teacher in second grade. Or should say a nun with a ruler in second grade. It was like, did you do your homework? Are you ready? I'm ready. I live, breathe, eat Mac. You know it. It's 24/7. There's no on or off. It's in me. I breathe.
Well, that's why I was so happy that like today it all came together for me. I was like, I don't know what to say about iLife. I mean, it's like I use the programs, but I don't like have embodied a concept in, like, you know, their presentation of it is so like it's a whole package and it's a whole way of living and it's a lifestyle. And
it is.
And I think it is too. I didn't get there. But this morning I was like, I have plenty to say about it.
How about this? H7435HIJTM. That's my iLife 05 serial number, Henry. Do you know your serial number?
No, but people are always shocked when I know my credit card number because I just use one number.
Right.
So like when I'm on the phone and people go, okay, MasterCard 526218838077, expiration date 11/0, and they say, did you actually know the number? I said, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. It's 18 numbers and,
I used to be a telephone operator for one summer with Karen way back when, and this is a key input device. And this was at the same time with the gaming thing going on. I was repeatedly crowned fastest operator at the Long Island. It's calculated by a computer.
Right.
And I handled more calls, and it all had to do with the credit card number, the calling card number, which is 10 to 15 digits. And people would say, especially business guys, they almost want to trip you up. You know, what's your credit card number? And they go, 7545. No matter how fast they go, thank you, sir. And I got it every time. And by the way, that's where they teach you not to use your index finger when you input. The fastest and most efficient is actually
don't give me that.
And I'm giving you the finger right now. And it's a little awkward, but after doing it for a while,
because it's the longest bugger, right?
I don't know what it is, and you shouldn't mess with your index finger, which is clearly the most sensitive.
Well, what happens if you put them both together? Then that's really a problem, I guess. Two fingers?
Even that doesn't look right from where I'm sitting. Get this thing.
Two-prong Louie.
Put those
fingers.
You know
what two-prong Louie is?
It sounds like a visit to the doctor's office, isn't it?
Well, no. It's at camp. Two-prong Louie?
No, I had no idea. What is it?
He lives in the outhouse.
Oh, really?
And his arm was cut off by Boy Scouts, and he lives underneath the latrine, and he's
scary.
Just got two prongs. Believe me, I lived in fear of this guy in camp. I mean, it was him and Cropsey. Michael Cropsey. Cropsey, we all know, right? Cropsey, everybody knows Cropsey.
Yes,
he's basically the basis for one of those horror movies. But
right.
Two-Prong Louie is something. But
Jason is Cropsey. Right.
And Two-Prong Louie can get into like the sewage system, so he can show up at your basement at home. He's not just in the outhouse. Two-Prong Louie's got long arms.
So in other words, when you leave camp, campers.
When you leave camp, when you go home.
The terror continues.
And you're on the 27th floor of your high-rise in New York City.
Okay. That is funny.
Boy, that's about as far off the Mac topic as we've ever gotten.
No, as far as I'm concerned, it's under the Apple umbrella.
Okay, iLife 05. We got iPhoto 5, iMovie HD, iDVD 5, GarageBand 2, and iTunes 4.7.
Man, that sounds cool. Is that iLife 05?
Yes, it is.
Let's rifle through them, so let's back up a little and talk about... go ahead.
I was going to only say, because We keep on changing where we do our Apple News, and we're already 5 minutes in the show. But I'm going to do an Apple News piece.
It's an Apple Moo. You said an Apple Moo.
The Moof. Remember the Moof? Apple Moof? the dog that would look like a cow.
Oh, the Moof.
They call
right.
the Moof.
Right? Yeah,
there's,
that's right.
It's a collectible T-shirt that I would love to have, which is just the Moof on it.
Right. And you can't find that?
Oh, no. It's like 100. There's a website that does Apple collectibles.
Yeah.
And it's like $100 or something like that.
Wow.
For the T-shirt. And it's like it's
so
got...
we're accepting donations for Henry's Moof account.
So we're going to start out with an Apple News piece that I think will dovetail nicely into part of iLife. Which I just think is really cool that...
Excuse me. By the way, you don't have to... Now, when you say Apple News...
Yes.
And this might be edited out. When you say we're going to do Apple News...
You don't have to say it. I know.
You know the sound effect's coming, right?
Yes, Chris. I do listen to the show.
No, but every show we've said, and now there's some cool effect coming in the last four shows.
I like to say there's some cool effects generated by Chris Ragazza. Okay, I'm trying to plug you, buddy.
Okay,
I'm trying to give you a life outside of this goddamn garage.
I am leaving this argument in the show.
Jesus Christ. Okay, anyway, I just thought it was really cool that there was a release. This is actually just from about 2 days ago, not that that matters, that Trent Reznor, I think that's how you pronounce his name, from Nine Inch Nails. Nine Inch Nails is releasing one of the cuts from their current album, the complete tracks. I mean, basically the release version, but in GarageBand format.
Wow.
So you can take it into GarageBand, and he says, for quite some time, I've been interested in the idea of allowing you the ability to tinker around with my tracks, to create remixes, experiment, embellish, or destroy what's there. I've tried a few years ago, blah, blah, blah. It's a 70 meg download. It's available from the Nine Inch Nails website, which is just nin.com, or Google it, and I will have the link on our blog spot. But I think that's really cool.
It's very cool, and isn't it completely 180 degrees from the Metallica Napster battle years ago? I mean, it seems that even this is the antithesis to that, which is freeing the music, letting it get out there. Now, my question is there some issue with profitability? Like when you release this song for free, it has no potential to actually make any money for the band. So it's not like they're releasing the entire album. This is just an experiment.
It's
just
one song that has the completed tracks. I assuming there's a preset, you could probably listen to it as the mix that is on the album.
Right.
But the point is only to just to diverge from that. I mean, you know, if you're looking to go through, it's a 70 meg download. I mean, if you're looking for the trouble of downloading 70 meg, you know, song, it's probably not just to get it onto your iPod. It's because you want to play around with it in GarageBand, because that's...
And I would also imagine learn a lot if you're a musician, you know, multi-tracking for the first time. Just getting their version of it as it stands when you first look at it might give you a clue.
Yeah, exactly. Into how much work goes into it.
What goes into it. Because, as you all know, My Mac Guys alone is at least 7 or 8 tracks now.
Ooh, baby.
7 or 8 with at least... I'd say over 50, well, between 50 and 75.
I'm holding on to my chair.
50 and 75 edit points and sound mixing alone.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Well, no wonder it takes me so long to listen
you go
to
home.
It.
Yeah, you go home tonight. Some of us are working for the rest of the week to get the show out.
Well, I think it's, you know, I didn't know until recently when, you know, in our migration over to Pro Tools, and I may be... I didn't do the research on this, but my understanding is now that there is no way to record a multi-track session before GarageBand on the Mac. I mean, professionally, of course there is. But for those of us that were just dickering around with things like Amadeus, which is a great piece of shareware.
There was something, though. It was... There were a couple of other freebies, and I thought they were multi-track. Deck. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, I'm sure there's stuff
out
there.
I think Deck was the one, because a friend of mine, knowing I wanted to mess around with recording guitar and stuff, you know.
Right.
So I'm just
yes, I know. You're just blowing me out of the water.
No,
it's
I'm
okay.
Blowing those emails off before they come. Which
right. All those, the floodgates of email. But it's not until I opened up. I mean, I'm not consistently using GarageBand. But I must say that when I first opened it up, it just, once again, the beauty of the interface is like, it just makes a fan out of you. It's just like you open it up and say, I want to know what this thing does, because it's so beautiful looking. And I know that basically, you know, from the hints I'm getting from the visuals, that this is like some serious piece of recording software.
It is.
You know, and
did you see the John Mayer demo at the keynote?
No.
I mean, he basically came on stage with a guitar plugged in to GarageBand and laid down tracks and recorded what was easily a song that could have gone up the charts. And it kind of demystified. I mean, the guy's a serious talent, so let's not take that out of the equation. You and I could plug in right now and we'd never have a song. But the fact is that it was the beauty of GarageBand with somebody who knew what to do with it, and talk about a simple program. I have not used a manual with it, but I have gone to their keyboard shortcuts just for a few things. But otherwise, I was recording on day one, and as in reference to Deck and all these other programs, you know, I couldn't figure out how to use them. So,
right. Well,
So first of all, GarageBand.
Well, actually, no, sound, you know, sound is for knuckleheads.
As we, yeah, right. So you jumped to the bottom of the list, which is interesting because I always got the impression that you didn't really. I think I suggested a GarageBand show, and you didn't exactly light up about it. But I am glad to see that you have given it the due that it's due, the respect that it's due, because it's a great program. And again, this is something I'm guessing is only going to improve in the next couple of years, given the interest in it.
I can't even imagine
what would happen to it, because it does everything I want it to do now.
Right, right.
Okay, so now let's just jump back a little bit. We spoke about iPhoto 5. Now, everybody's been using 4 for a few years now. So when you get this iLife 5, you jump up to iPhoto 5. And what I think is really great about it is they finally offer you softbooks. Now, all along, you've been able to print these hardcover books, and the problem with them is they're beautiful. The color is a bit of an issue for anybody who's looking for a professional color match system. That's not up to snuff, but they're very expensive. And the fact is, there are other Snapfish offers hard books. And what the problem with it is, lots of times you want to give these to people for a party, but you can't go spend, you know, $50 or $60 a book for each person you want. But softbooks brings down the price so that you can actually make a decent book for somewhere around $20 to $25, which and also offers you a lot of different templates and takes the mystery out of layout, because you could take a collection of photos and just drop it into their softbooks templates. And you look like you've been publishing for 20 years. It's amazing.
I mean,
alone is worth getting iPhoto 5.
I agree, but I also, you know, it's a matter of.
I could see it on your face.
Well, it's like, you know, I use Shutterfly, and I'm going to pitch them. You know, now, you know, Kodak just bought. Well, Kodak owns iPhoto, and Hewlett Packard just bought Snapfish, right?
So I didn't know that.
That just happened like 2 weeks ago. So now there's three. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal about how there's three online digital printers out there, and they basically command 30% of the market share. It's not that cleanly drawn. I mean, the Ophoto and Kodak does have a larger market share.
Right.
Shutterfly is astounding.
In what way?
Well, Shutterfly, I can get a softbook, and I've been able to get a softbook for 3 years for $6.
And how do you do the layout?
Online. And there's a Mac OS X widget which allows you to drag and drop your photos into their widget, goes straight up to the Shutterfly website, you name the folder, it logs right into your account, you know.
I tried to do Snapfish.
I'm talking about Shutterfly.
Okay, because I was going to say Snapfish was, and I'm bringing them up because you're bringing them all up, was not easy. It was not as elegant, and my layout options were, you know, I felt like I had my hands tied. So for me personally,
I hear you, hands down. Shutterfly is amazing. It's unlimited storage. At one point I was like, I started making these high res scans of some old family photos. And I was like, well, I had like this 50 meg scan. I was like, well, why wouldn't I just upload that? So I emailed them and said, sure, you can upload anything you want. I have a friend of mine that uses them to have an offsite archive of his digital images. He just uploads every photo he takes to Shutterfly.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And he now has an offsite, you know, archive. And
right.
And I've made, you know, they make, when their posters go on sale, I have a 20 by 30 poster of me walking through the Wellfleet, you know, through the woods in Wellfleet when I was 3 years old, that's, you know, in my kitchen. And I think it was about $15. And you know what? The quality's fantastic.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, I don't know if it makes me a loyalist that for me, in order for me to venture outside of the hub,
right,
that Steve has
right.
pitched, I think it's more of a philosophy that you don't like being a sheep. And there's a sense, I think, that sticking with Apple products within the Apple world makes you a sheep. So
well,
you always seek out the alternative. I don't know if it's a financial thing.
No, it's not
thing.
That. It was like, it's the quality. It's the quality issue.
Well, then I feel like
their photos look bad from the beginning, and everybody agreed. And so
right,
I
so
found,
that's the issue.
And I found a place that did fantastic. Even when everybody was trying to figure out, you know, how to make digital prints, Shutterfly was just ahead of the curve. I mean, you know, I used Ophoto first. And then when Shutterfly came along, I've been with them ever since.
But actually, until just now, you never mentioned that that was one of the selling points. You didn't actually.
Yes.
So now, if you know, photographer to photographer,
right.
That's all you had to say.
No, I know.
Because as you
well,
know,
no,
I did
you
a portfolio and was very unhappy
yes.
with the first Apple book I
yes,
got because
yes.
the blue sky wasn't
right.
even blue.
Right. But no, but you brought up softbooks, which is what triggered my brain.
I got it.
Because they make this thing called Snapbooks. and they're spiral bound. They make 4x6 and 5x7 snapbooks, and I think they're $5 or $6 a pop.
Oh, that's great.
They're really cool. And I've done I make them for my kid all the time, and they get destroyed, and you can just reorder a new one. And anyway, I think that's enough said about it. The thing is, because I do use iPhoto, and I do use it as my photo, you know, it's my iTunes for photos. It's where I upload my photos, just to have a database to search through and look at photos. I mean, there's no question that I use it for that. I don't use it for anything else.
Yeah. So, you know, then let's segue.
Yes.
But I want to stick with the same concept about things that bother you that don't bother me about a program.
Right.
iDVD-5, which for those listening, allows you to create and burn content using multiple images and movies, and you can lay them out so that you can basically stick a DVD in your DVD consumer player and have a full menu, just like you would see with a commercial DVD. Now, I only used it recently to do a simple project and was astounded at how good it made my menus look, you know, selecting footage from different parts of the project and having them rotate and float, and even had theme music. Just as I'm about to get excited about it, I know you kind of felt like it didn't hit the mark, and I'm just curious what that meant.
You know,
and it's really not a comparison. I'm just curious.
I mean, as you said that, I realized that my issues with iDVD are actually not about the software as much as the complexification. You can look that up at Wiki if you want.
I believe it was used in show 4.
I think it was.
Yeah. Give a t-shirt away to whoever finds out which show had complexification used before.
Of the nature of building DVDs. I mean, it's like, I don't know much about it, but I've started collecting some more video content on the web, and I started putting together some DVD stuff, and, you know, just getting more into it. I've burned, you know, 20 or 30 DVDs in the last 6 months, which is, you know, 100% more than I've done in the last 5 years. And what I'm finding is that it's a really complicated, you know, architecture.
Absolutely.
And very problematic. And that's the part that I have to forgive anybody for, because the drag and drop usability, you know, friendly usability of iDVD is without parallel. I haven't seen anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't looked around. But
how amazing is it? I mean, I guess I'm still thrilled because I've only burned 2 or 3.
Right.
So I burned my director's reel, and I know that what I did would have cost me $1,000 to come up with anything close to what I put out. And for me, there was not any limitation to presenting this work, because, you know, the menu was more than I could have asked for.
Right.
And the
right.
fact, again, I didn't read a manual. I was burning a DVD on my PowerBook.
No,
I was blown away
you.
By it. So I guess in a way it's like, I feel like sometimes like I'm not discerning enough, as if like, well, I should be bought. Like, what did I miss about iDVD? And it's fun, always fun to talk to you, because you go to another level.
Well,
with it,
yeah,
I think that's
exactly.
Where you hit
it's
the
like
wall.
I'm expecting, you know, a couple of months ago, I was building one, and I didn't know, but I started trying to add content that was from multiple formats. I had I had movies, you know, QuickTime movies.
Right.
I had MPEG-2 video, which is the standard, you know, DVD. That is when you go rent from Netflix, that's MPEG-2.
Right.
The entire
disc. And then some MPEG-4, I'm guessing?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
I had, you know, .8 AVIs and DivX and all these other formats.
And they were conflicting? Or they just weren't handling it?
Well, the way I was trying to add the content to the DVD, and then I was getting this message that you're not allowed, you know, that iDVD does not support the content you're trying to add.
I got one of those for one project, and I forget what it was.
So it led me on this incredibly, you know, for me, interesting journey of discovering. I mean, I'm always wondering about this whole thing, the codec. You know, it's like the word that you kind of banter around, because you kind of think what it means. And I do understand what it is now. It's, you know, basically within the easiest way to look at it is you open up your QuickTime player to look at a movie, and you can look at a lot of different kinds of the way the movie was made, whether it's an MPEG-2 or a .MOV or all these things.
What? Geek alert.
I think I just heard the geek alert.
I'm trying to avoid the geek alert.
I think you just
really?
I think you did.
Oh,
I'm sorry. But
man.
I don't see any way around it personally.
I mean, the bottom line is that there's a shitload of these codecs out there. And they basically, it's hard. QuickTime does not support them all, and therefore iDVD does not support them all. And what I had to do is I had to go out and download a lot of freeware and shareware, convert all my movies to formats that iDVD could understand before I could build my DVD. Now, once I did
it... Was that iDVD 5?
Yes.
Oh, it already was.
And I thought it was... You know,
because it does support, you know, a lot... It's double-sided DVDs, and the big thing was that it finally supports PlusR, because as many of us found out, trying to burn DVDs, I wasn't using Dash R's. It needs Dash R. And, you know, you go to Staples and the guy doesn't know. And it turned out that little line made
all the difference in the world. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, which is, again, another example of it's a very complicated architecture. And it's something that I wouldn't pretend, or I don't even really want to know that much more about it. I just know it's a pain in the ass. And it's like, you know, even making music CDs can be a pain in the butt sometimes, in terms of, like, sometimes you get these weird, you know, ways that you can't burn something. But with DVDs, it's so much, much more complicated than that. So I do want it. So the initial comment was just that iDVD is amazing, and you're absolutely right. And the new one now has a they call it Magic Movies, where you can basically do that.
Is that iMovie, though? Isn't that an iMovie feature?
I thought it was iMovie feature that sends it over to. So there we go.
Well, there you go. Well, so we bumped into iMovie, and Henry, go ahead, explain it, because it's the cool. It is very, very cool.
I haven't played with it, and there's something similar to it in Toast. So I kind of understand the concept, but just basically that you would take
your camcorder
or a VCR, anything that has and video output on it, and you'd hook it up to your computer and press play on your camera, and then press one button in iMovie, and it would capture the contents of the entire tape and then encode it, which takes a while, and then send it over to iDVD and burn a DVD for you. So basically
the short version of that, basically plug your camcorder into iMovie, and without any trouble, it will make the transitions in your tape smooth. It'll give you fades, and it'll make it look like you took the time to edit your movie, even though you didn't.
I didn't know that. I thought it just did a direct transfer.
Okay, no. That's the amazing thing. It's beyond. It will literally take the transition. So all it senses is when the time code changes, so that you've turned your camcorder on or off. Now that will be a soft fade, and it'll mix it up a little bit.
Oh, that's cool.
So, and you know what? Think about all. Nobody has the time to edit these birthday party tapes. And so, what an amazing! And guess what? You may not like the final result,
but it's probably
better than what you have not been doing all these years with those videos.
So, and so that's really cool. I didn't know it did that. That's actually cooler than I thought it was.
That's amazing. And iMovie also now supports HD, and there are a few HDV cameras, which is high definition video cameras, which allow you to shoot not only higher resolution, but I think it's also the letterbox 16:4, is it the
16:9?
Don't look at me like that. I should have known that. 16:9 format. And I think that feature in the next 5 years is going to be a must-have. And again, I think they're a little ahead of the curve. They didn't have to put that in iMovie. They just know that that's where it's headed. So again, that's a leap forward.
I agree. I mean, I was, you know, when I was thinking about what I was going to say about iMovie in general, I was going to, you know, I migrated out of iMovie towards Final Cut a couple of years ago. And it's been a real struggle for me because I don't work in it enough in Final Cut Express to be fluent in it.
Right.
You know, so every time I go back to it, I feel like I kind of grit my teeth. Like there's going to be some downtime here. I want to do a simple project. I want to convert some video. Or I want to make something for my son. You know, I want to do it in Final Cut because I want to be the good guy and I want to be tech savvy. But the reality is I keep on saying, well, shit, shouldn't I just go back to iMovie and just dump it in there because it's going to be so fast?
Yeah, but don't do that because you convinced me to go to Final Cut Express. But here's the beauty of iMovie. Sierra's 13, and now when her friends get together for a sleepover, you can almost guarantee they produce a movie. That's what they do.
Wow.
She's actually planning a production of The Little Match Girl, and she's employed all her friends, had rehearsals, and she's planning to use iMovie, my camera and iMovie, and she knows no bounds. I mean, and in fact, she even asked me the other day, you know, the kids are overacting, what do you do? And I kind of gave her the old Hitchcock trick, which is that, you know, don't tell them what you want them to do. You think of the reaction you want them to have, and you make up, you lie to them, basically. You tell them, okay, nothing's happening here. You're just looking down at the ground and an ant. And then you know that's the scene where you want her to emote that, you know, her mother's just died. And she was fascinated. Here I am talking directing with my 13-year-old, and iMovie started that conversation.
That's good.
By the way, gotta just before I forget, we're not talking about thousands of dollars for iLife 05. You ready for this? It's $79. And that's the most amazing part of this, is that we're talking about a plethora of the cutting edge software, because we also have to include in this package, not to be ever forgotten, iTunes 4.7.1, which was a major upgrade of iTunes, had a whole slew of features, which I'm sure Hank will talk about, and it's $79. Each of these programs alone could have been $79. This is five programs for $79.
Yeah, you're right.
Reaction from you. I'm waiting.
No, I'm rolling my eyes.
What does the communist have to say?
I'm rolling my eyes a little bit, because I'm like, $79 is probably $30 or $40 too much for anything, I think.
Yeah, but $79 is how much it costs to fill up an SUV with gas now.
No, okay? But that's
how much fun you have in there.
That's not
how much
fun? That's not a comparison to make, but I'm struggling to get... You know, this company called Boinx, B-O-I-N-X, makes incredible, cool software.
Wait, before you go, how much do you think it should cost? So you think it should be $29 or something?
Yeah, $39.
For five cutting-edge programs?
Well, because most of them are free anyway.
There's no such thing as free software. It's not free.
They're only charging you for... You get most of them on your Mac.
Let me explain that when we meet with Steve, because you know that's going to happen, we will be sitting at opposite ends of the room.
He's going to listen to me.
Steve and I will be on one side representing Apple.
And I'll be the voice of reason. You guys will be these like higher than thou like pedestal talking about
the voice of Ebenezer. Ebenezer Apple over there.
I'm happy to pay for anything that's, you know, what I was going to say is this piece of shareware that I really love called Photo Magico, which I have to use. I'm going to buy it, but it's a $79 piece. It's a $79 program.
And what does it do?
It's a slideshow creation tool, and it's amazing how cool it is.
At $79?
$79.
Nah, it's overpriced. I can't go.
But they've locked the market. I've tried.
Sorry, $79. It's I just can't believe you pay that.
So anyway, it's amazing. You've made me a convert, Steve. I'm with you. I'm sitting on your side of the room now. So
come on over, Henry.
You're not going to hear me, because I'm going to walk away from the microphone. I'll be in the
okay. Seat. Come on, Henry.
I'm tethered to my earphones. Okay. So now, believe it or not, we're on time here, and I think
I really don't believe that, because I feel like we've just been rambling.
Yeah. Well, that may be the case, but
we've
rambled on time.
Okay.
And we're going to move on to our podcast of the week, which is Chris has a interesting pick.
Yeah, my podcast for the week is the number one podcast on Podcast Alley, which we already know is a sort of a popularity contest and not a true gauge of what podcasts are doing.
To be discussed on a future show.
To be discussed. But I got to tell you, this is in honor of the Pope. The number one podcast of the week coming out of nowhere was The Catholic Insider. And as expected, it is a discussion of all things Catholic, and I got my hat's off to them for sticking together as a group and getting those votes into Podcast Alley. And I just love the fact that they came out of nowhere. You know, Drew and Nancy, what the hell is the name of the Drew and Drew show? What's the one that everybody's been touting for all these years?
They're
the number ones. Well, not anymore, right. The Pope is back.
Pope knocked him out of there.
I guess he had a little help from above, so we could use a little of that kind of help. That's my podcast of the week, and really no commentary on whether you agree with the politics of the church or not, just hats off to the Pope, no pun intended.
Copy you. And maybe you'd care to share some mail with us.
Yes, Henry, we've got some mail. It comes in from a man named Jim, And he says, enjoyed show 12 and the mild ribbing about my Unison intro complaint. I like the sound effects. I look forward to getting used to them. I couldn't hear a word you were saying during one part of the show. I have a fairly large collection of sound effects, and I think you should have access to them. And the guy proceeds to tell me where I can go and get better sound effects than the ones that I've been using. Anyway, I thought that was funny.
They're going to pitch just a piece of shareware. Actually, I think it's freeware, donationware, however you describe donationware. You know, one of the limitations in iPhoto, which many people have commented to me about, it's the same thing with iTunes, and you can't have multiple libraries. You know, you only have one music library.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's been bugging me for a long time.
Yes, and you only have one photo library. Anyway, there's sharewares to circumvent all these.
Nice.
And it's called iPhoto Buddy, and that's basically all it allows to do. You can just now drag and drop a library into this iPhoto Buddy. You just go to iPhoto Buddy, you pick your library, and you relaunch iPhoto, and it goes right into it. And it stays linked to that library until you change it again.
Cool.
So it's an extremely well-done piece of shareware. I applaud the guy that generated it.
Dude. That's cool.
So I think that takes us up to just wrapping up our show. And I'm, you know, as much as it may not sound like an exciting launch point, I know that there's one element of it. It's going to be called the Silly Mac Stories.
And, yes.
I base it around a story that I think you'll be glad to finally get out of your system, which you've told me, and I've subsequently told many people. But you know what? Let's save this conversation for the next show.
Sounds good, Hank. Everybody, thanks for tuning in.
Okay. Later.
Later.
You've been listening to
My Mac Guys.
My name is Henry.
And I'm Chris.
And all contact information can be had at one fantastic website, and that is mymacguys.blogspot.com.